Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
This interview is sponsored by a new and standout destination in Starkville, Mississippi, Alora Modern Wellness. Founded by longtime healthcare professionals Rich and Lisa Lopez, Alora blends advanced technology with personalized care to help you feel your best. Whether it's whole body cryotherapy to reduce inflammation, an infrared sauna to detox and relax, LED light therapy to recharge at the cellular level, or assisted stretching to improve mobility, Alora has something for everybody. Their mission to provide science-backed wellness in a calm, welcoming space. Whether you're recovering from a tough workout, managing stress, or just investing in your long-term health, Alora is your modern approach to feeling better mind, body, and soul. Stop by 821 C Highway 12 right across from Kroger or explore more at AloraModernWellness.com. It is the bye week blitz. We're talking Mississippi State men's basketball with Coach Chris Jantz. I got you pre-practice this time. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, it's a better time. I'll be chippier and happier and more energized and probably in a better mood too.
I appreciate that. Thank you for joining me as always. When you look at your upcoming, you know, season and the roster that you've put together, it looks on paper a little different than the roster you had a season ago. When you went into this portal cycle, were you looking for a different style of player than you were a season ago? Did you change how you wanted to make your team up?
I don't think it's any secret for those that really paid attention to us last year and our state fans and followed along in our journey that we were better offensively than we'd been in previous years. Just, you know, most people could see that, but the numbers vetted it out as well. But we lost too much on the defensive end, and we kind of wanted to get back to our roots a little bit and make sure we were mindful of not just expecting guys to buy into defense and toughness and rebounding, that we had to recruit it a little bit as well, and certainly try to get them better at all facets of the game once they arrive. So we wanted to get bigger around the basket and have more of a defensive presence that way. And, you know, time will tell, but that was kind of our mentality as we headed into the recruiting season, especially in the spring, once the season was over and the dust settled, who was coming back.
So before we get into the guys who are here, let's talk about one guy who's not here anymore. In the movie Moneyball, they talk about recreating in the aggregate. Do you have to recreate Cam Matthews in the aggregate? Because I think it would be very difficult to find a player who did everything that he did for your team.
First of all, you got to use terms that I understand, man. Like JUCO coach. That's going to be really hard to replace him. You know, he's been a stalwart for me and our program since I've arrived. You know, he was sitting in the room when I showed up on press conference day, and our relationship grew every day since then. And his position on our team and our program certainly grew every season as well, from, you know, a starter to, you know, a main guy to obviously, you know, being kind of the leader of our team, a captain of our team, and someone that, you know, everybody followed. And that's a lot for anyone to just take over, if you will. So first we got to try to, you know, just get some guys on the team to replicate some of the things that he did on the floor. But, you know, Cam was unique in being a two-way player for us and our style of play. I mean, being able to basically be positionless defensively and then turning into an old school point forward for us as well with the decision making and being in that lead guard spot. So I don't think we have anyone that's going to just walk in his shoes, and we're going to have to try to reconstruct, you know, how we do things on both ends in his absence.
So I'm pretty sure a year ago, one of the questions I asked you was, you know, what does Josh Hubbard need to add to his game, or what can Josh Hubbard add to his game? I want to change that question up just a little bit. What do you need Josh Hubbard to add to his game?
Great question. And I need him to continue to buy in to being a very good defender. You know, when he first got here, it was more, I needed him to spell defense, to understand that it's on the other end of the court that, I, you know, 50% of the time when I'm on the court, that's my responsibility to play on that end too. But he certainly progressed that way. He is in a much better place defensively than he ever has. The timing of this interview, I mean, he's had the best stretch of practices, in my opinion, that he's ever had from a 10,000-foot view not points scored, but just everything, every facet, even including leadership. He's been off the chain. And if it continues, knock on wood, it's going to bode well for all of us. So, I'm always going to talk about that with him because, like all players, we got strengths and weaknesses. Josh is no different. And so he's got to make up for some limitations by being ahead of the play mentally, being in perfect position all the time, his motor being running all the time, trusting the technique that he has learned 2+ years now going into his third season. And it's happening. It's happening. It's getting into his DNA where it's a regular deal of him being that guy on both ends of the floor. And then certainly offensively, people will see him, but he's even better. Like he's his shot selection has changed a little bit. He's better off the bounce. He's stronger than he's ever been. He's certainly playing both on and off the ball like he always has. But I think even going into his third year, he's going to be a better version of what we've seen thus far.
You added a player, and I'm going to try to pronounce it correctly. And if I'm not, I want you to get me. But Sergei Makura from Serbia.
Very
How close
good.
did I get?
Sergey, but close
Sergei
enough.
Makura. All right. Stefan Krajnik, our buddy, will be mad that I got that wrong since he's Serbian. I saw this was like a thing around the league this year, though. There's a lot of Europeans coming into the league. I know Ole Miss got a guy from France. I think Auburn and Alabama both added a European player. Is that a next step? For rosters, are you going to see more of this? And do you enjoy the international flavor of recruiting?
A lot of questions. First, this isn't a question, but I want to make sure I get this right. It's pronounced Sergey, but his nickname is Serge. So it doesn't really make sense. It kind of throws me off a little bit, but everybody calls him Serge, but his full name is pronounced Sergey. So you'll have to ask them personally how
I will
he's
make that happen. Yeah.
referred to.
Yes.
International market, I think, was a result of a bunch of things that happened in the spring. The market kind of dried up for available players in the portal, and everybody at that point had scholarships remaining and was in need of players that could, be a part of the rotation or starters or whatever each program needed. And so, I think everybody kind of went from the portal market, seeing if there were high school players still available. And then at the same time, the international market became, an avenue that more schools that had maybe not previously jumped into. And because of the money, let's be honest, the market financially for the players over there, it was used to be harder to get some of those guys to leave over there because of being in certain programs and knowing what they were going to make either currently or in the near future. But with the change in the market over here, you're seeing more kids from the foreign countries want to come over here and play, and that's a big reason. And I've coached obviously foreign players in the 33 years that I've coached, but recently with just having Sergey, like my take on it has been awesome. I mean, he's been as coachable as we've had since we've been here. Like he's off the chart when it comes to coachability. Like it's like he looks you dead in the eye and yes, sir, no, sir, and what do I need next? What can I do better? I mean, it's unbelievable. And he's gotten off to a great start, and he really is behind because he wasn't here in June and July, so he missed 8 weeks of training, but he's picked things up very, very quickly. And if we can continue to get guys like that, I could see us staying in that market going forward.
When you look at this roster, you've got a good group of guys that it feels like could play in the backcourt if necessary, can play in the front court if necessary. I guess the traditional term would be swingmen. Do you feel like this is a versatile roster that even within the game, you can change the way you want to play?
Yeah, I feel like we do have a versatile roster. You mentioned guys that can, move around a little bit in the lineup. And we do have guys like that. Like, a Sean Jones comes to mind, an Amir Ali, a Chuer, even a J. Marge, Jamarion, Davis Fleming. Those guys are guys. Cameron Paul is obviously a freshman, medium-sized guys that like you mentioned, could move around a little bit from the two to the four, depending on, what kind of lineup you want to play. Certainly, we're hoping for some separation before the games come rolling around. And even if that happens, it doesn't mean there won't be, changes to the lineup once we get going and productivity comes into play. But I think at this point, there's a lot of competition across the board, and our players know that. It's very unique that way when you're in our kind of camp, if you will, preparing for our first game. You want them to compete for minutes and spots, but at the same time, they know come November 5th, we're going to be, in the locker room rallying together to compete for each other that way. So it's a little unique that way.
You mentioned Paul and Davis Fleming. This is your most highly touted freshman class coming in from a recruiting perspective. How many of those guys are ready to contribute early in the season?
It's a great question again. I'm not ready to make any broad proclamations or guarantees, but we will be playing freshmen. There's no question about it. I don't, it could be one, it could be three. I don't know yet. It hasn't unfolded. I really tried not to. A lot of people want to ask me who's going to start, not just on the air, off the air. I mean, my wife wants to know. And I may
Josh
leak
Hubbard, and then I'll figure out the
I may
rest,
leak
right?
it to her a little bit. She's sworn to secrecy, but I really try, and I may have said this to you before, I don't remember. I really tried not to put a starting lineup in my head or a top eight or top nine, because I don't want to box anyone in. I want the practices to unfold, and there's a lot of them left before we have to worry about that. And I may shy a little bit too much on that, where other coaches want to know and they want to play them together. I'm different that way. I want competition. We mix teams every single day. We don't have a maroon team and then another color team, and the maroon team's the number one. It's not that way. We mix and match them every single day. So no one really knows. They don't know. And eventually the cream rises to the top, and everybody in the gym, other than maybe a spot or two, knows. That's why I tell them all the time, I really don't determine who plays. You guys do. I'm not determining it. If I did a poll November 4th, who should start and who should be playing, if I picked eight or nine spots, we'd all be very, very close to one another. I mean, we're there every day. So, that's kind of how we look at that.
When you signed Brandon Walker, how quickly did you hear from our friend Brandon Walker?
Actually, I heard from him prior to signing Brandon Walker. I have the text, so certainly wasn't prepared to answer this, but I think it read something like, "Tell me this is going to happen." And of course, I couldn't show my cards, but my response was like, "I think that would be a heck of an NIL deal." I mean, that's not what I do, but sounded pretty good. But I think he's been on campus since then, and maybe even taken a picture
I think
with
so,
the real Brandon Walker. Hey, you want to hear a funny story? One day I called Brandon Walker, and I thought I was calling my Brandon Walker, the player. And the Brandon Walker, in his eyes, answered the phone. And it was a little awkward for me at the beginning. And I told him right away, I go, I can't lie to you, man. Like, I thought I was calling the other Brandon Walker. And so we end up having a fun conversation about it,
Oh,
but I
coach, what do you
did.
mean you didn't mean to call me? I thought we were friends.
Yeah,
I
I did make
bet
that
that went.
mistake. And at least he answered the call when I called him, though.
There
That
you
was
go.
cool.
He's all about the Bulldogs. You know that.
I do.
You got an exhibition coming up in a couple of weeks with Houston. I guess the Lakers weren't available for you to scrimmage with. You go and get the national runner-up from a season ago. From an exhibition game where you want to play a lot of guys and you want to see, how much can you really take away from an exhibition game like that? Because the level of competition obviously is very high there.
Yeah, I'm thrilled about that. I was so excited when that came available and we were able to get that done. We got a tough non-conference schedule. If you're paying attention and you're following along, it's our toughest one yet to date. And I felt like we've had some challenging ones since we've arrived, and we're very mindful of numbers and projections and NCAA tournaments and seeds in the back of our mind to try to put our players in a position to be able to, be in those conversations and preparing for those games. I don't think we could have found a better situation to, one, have to go on the road. We're not playing in Houston's arena, but we're playing in Texas. And it's an exhibition game. There's two games. A&M's playing Arizona State prior to us, and then we're playing in the second game. So I'd anticipate with the Texas schools, there'll be quite a bit of fans there, and it'll be, very, very game-like. I mean, everything about it's going to be game-like, and certainly I can't have more respect for a program across the country than I do for Coach Sampson and Houston and their culture and how they play. And I think I would echo what most coaches say across the country. And so the great thing about that is, we're going to know where we're at. We're going to know, what we need to work on. We're going to know, what exposure we had, and fortunately still have time to, get better from it and get our players to understand where some of our weaknesses are. And I'm just thrilled with the idea of it. Certainly, we got a long way to go before then. And, we have another opportunity before that, actually. And I don't even know what the rules are anymore, but we got a closed door situation this Saturday.
Keep it
So
on the
we'll have,
DL there. Yeah.
yeah. And it's so good. Like I've been doing this for years now. Other schools are starting to do it as well, but people used to wait for the 2 weeks before and play back to back leading up to the game. So you play a week, have a week off play, and then have your game. I feel like with the access in the summer and the fall, like kids want to play against someone else about right now. They're really tired of going against each other. So we've inched up one of our exhibitions or scrimmages, and it's worked out great. So we'll get a play Saturday. And then the next Saturday, I don't even think it's public yet, so there's breaking news, man.
Oh.
We're gonna have an open practice slash inter squad the following Saturday, whatever that Saturday is here at the Hump, and then a week before we play Houston, and then after that, it's 7, 8 days before we play real games. So we're about to get into the meat of our basketball season.
All right. Last question. So this is the day on the podcast where Robbie and I, we do like a Twitter mailbag, right? We ask people to ask us questions, and they're all random. They're not just Mississippi State sports. We're going to give you one to answer. Here we go. This person says, I truly believe in the 6 degrees of separation theory. What's a time you made an incredibly unexpected connection with someone over somebody you both knew?
Jeepers Christ, man, I wasn't prepared to be like
I
that.
know, I know. I'm just throwing, I got to do this every week. If I can do it, you can do it. You know what was funny is mine is around you.
Oh, yeah. I wish I had something cute to add to it that way. I'm trying
Yeah.
to think of someone that I've met recently that would fall into that category. I just can't think of anyone, Brian.
I'll give you an easier one then. Reese's peanut butter cups. Do you prefer them room temperature or cold?
Cold.
There we go. There it is. That was the
Cold.
correct. That was
Once
the
I get
correct
my
answer.
answer, I'll text you.
Okay.
Not that you're going to
I'll
share it on
log that.
air, but
Yeah.
I will text you. I'm a preparation guy, man.
I understand. I understand. But sometimes, the game gives you a challenge. You just gotta
True.
be willing to go for it.
Well,
So.
basketball is one thing. That's I'm kind of a one-trick pony, man. Like the other stuff, not so much.
I got you. I got you. Coach Chris Jans, always a pleasure to talk to you. Look forward to seeing you this season at the Humphrey Coliseum.
All right, Brian. Thanks for having me, man. Appreciate it.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.